name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Michael Ramsey was one of the great theologians of the late 20th century. He became Archbishop of Canterbury and served that office through the 1960s and part of the 1970s. There's a story he told about one time while Archbishop of Canterbury, he had a phone call where he had to have an emergency meeting in London. And so he got, at the last minute, he was able to secure a train ticket, the very last ticket for this train. So he gets on the train and he sits down with the newspaper and begins to read it. And he realizes, as he's riding along, that on the car with him, he's the only person on this car that is not in this group of people that are patients from a mental hospital on a field day. And so the train makes a stop, and after the stop, the orderly walks through the car with a clipboard to check to see, make sure everybody is on the train. And she goes one by one, asks them their name, checks their name off the list. Well, she comes up to Michael Ramsey, and she looks at him, she looks at her clipboard, she looks at him, and she said, "And who are you?" And a little indignant, he says, "Well, I am the Archbishop of Canterbury." And she pats him on the head and says, "Of course you are, dear." Sometimes it's good to be reminded of our place in the universe. Our reading from Proverbs, which I have to admit is probably the shortest reading I have ever seen. You lucked out, Jan. The shortest reading I have ever seen on a Sunday morning. Good one-liner here. And buried in that one-liner, it says, "It is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower." Certainly Jesus was thinking of this line in Proverbs when this incident happened to him at the house of a Pharisee. Jesus gives us a teaching, a parable. When at a wedding banquet, don't sit at the highest place so that you may be put down to the lowest place and be dishonored, but sit at the lowest place so that your host may honor you and move you to a higher place. And he says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Now, humility is not something that our culture necessarily values. Now, we look at someone who expresses humility, and we might show respect for that person. But to be quite honest, it's much better for someone else than it is for me. Our culture tends to value things like bigger is better. We care a lot about the lives of celebrities. And it's really important getting the most likes on Facebook. The problem with humility is that we look at humility and we often associate it with humiliation. That is, being shown up or being sent down to the lowest place at the table. And part of the problem is that we look at humility and we forget sometimes what humility is really about. Humility is not so much about being unworthy. God does not find us unworthy. In fact, God found us valuable enough to come and live here with us, to live as one of us, to die as one of us. God finds humanity to be of great value. But I think sometimes we don't believe that. And we even hear it in church language, and we misunderstand church language. will say the words, miserable sinners, which of course we often think of being this breastfeeding and humbling ourselves, prostrate on the floor. And we don't realize that the word miserable simply comes from the Latin able to receive mercy. Those of you who have attended a service in Rite One will be familiar with the prayer of humble access, which everybody seems to remember the line, "We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs under thy table." And yet we seem to forget the very next line, "But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy." Humility is not about our lack of value. We are very valuable. You are very valuable and valued. So if that is the case, then why be humble? C.S. Lewis, in the book Mere Christianity, says, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." Part of humility is to remember our place in the universe. We have us, and then we have God. But if we always compare ourselves to God, we are going to despair, because here we are way down here, and there is God way up there. Well, we can't do that. We can't constantly compare ourselves to God. It's not fair to us, and it's not really right. We have to recognize where we are in comparison to God. But let's not get too worked up about that. The other part of humility is to remember the place of others in the universe. It's to remember how important everyone else is to God. Humility is not necessarily about being brought down. Now, sometimes this happens to us if we get a little ahead of ourselves. But humility is really about raising others up. It's about raising others up to the same level that we hold ourselves, or that we hold others who we regard in the highest of esteem. Now, I think about current events going on right now. Now, number one, current events, what is tomorrow? Labor Day. Well, Labor Day has its origins not necessarily in just to get a Monday off, but in as a way to remember those who work hard for little pay. It's a way to celebrate those who we don't always celebrate. This week in the news, we remembered the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. In that time, we remember it's not about bringing anybody down, but it is about raising up those whose society has put in a lower place and bringing them up to be equals, to have an equal share in society. It's about bringing them up to higher esteem. And perhaps my favorite news story from the last couple weeks is about a woman by the name of Antoinette Tough, who probably would not be particularly extraordinary, except that she was a school administrator when a gunman walked into her school in Georgia. And amazingly, she was able to talk this shooter down. Not because she was any more extraordinary than any one of us, but because she saw that shooter as a beloved child of God, desperately in pain and in need of love. She saw him as a human being. We often think of a hero being sort of your Rambo or your Arnold Schwarzenegger type, coming in saving the day with guns blazing. But a true hero is someone who values every single life on the line. True humility, which is holding all people in high esteem, can work on a grand scale, can work on a global scale, on a national scale, and it can work on a small scale, on a personal scale. But humility can only work if we see others as just as important as ourselves or anyone else. So reading from Hebrews we had today is right at the end of the book. And I don't want to go through all of it, but there are some great snippets that the writer gives us. Just little bits of wisdom strewn throughout this reading. Let me give you some of these snippets. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison. Be content with what you have. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. These are reminders to us. They're reminders that we value others in the same way that God values them. The good news of Jesus Christ is that all have value and all need to be held in great esteem. You are a person of great value, and so is everyone else. What this gospel reading tells us is that by taking a higher place at the table, we can only be reminded of why we should not be there. However, by taking a lower place at the table, we are reminded of the importance of others, and others will remind us of our importance. The value of each person is not based on who they are or what they have done. The value of each person is based on the fact that God cares for them enough to call them a beloved child. To live a Christian life, we must act as if each and every person we meet is the most important person that we have ever met, because they are. Amen.